We acknowledge the traditional custodians of the unceded lands this podcast is recorded from, the Yugambeh and Cammeraygal peoples.
We pay our respects to the elders of past and present and celebrate the diversity of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples and their ongoing cultures and connection to country.
You're listening to the Mum's Gone Climbing podcast.
We're on a mission to deliver high-quality climbing and adventure resources to badass climbing mamas.
And redefine motherhood one episode at a time.
With incredible guests.
Very bad humour.
And just enough Kleenex moments to keep things interesting.
So grab yourself a cuppa or plug us in on the way to the crag.
As we bring you the latest beta from the Mum's Gone Climbing crew.
Hi guys, welcome to the show. I am Eva Rosenbaum.
And I am Nell Gow, and we will be your hosts for today's episode of the Mum's Gone Climbing podcast. We're up to episode 42, and we have the amazing Carly LeBreton back on the podcast for the second part of our conversation with her.
But before we get into that episode, a huge thanks to our incredible sponsors, Urban Climb and Climbing Anchors. They've been supporting this podcast for the last four series, and we are incredibly grateful for their support. First up, Climbing Anchors. You guys know them very well by now. If you don't, they have stores in New South Wales in Alexandria and mini stores at 9 Degrees in Lane Cove and Waterloo, and a store in Victoria in Fitzroy. We've got a couple of updates from this wonderful team. Firstly, for all you listeners, our dedicated Climbing Anchors discount code has changed. So listen up, because we're not going to put it in the show notes. We're just going to spell it out a couple of times. It gives you 12.5% off everything in store and online, except for sale items. Now, the code is 20MUMS24. So it's 20MUMS24. That's a nod to our overseas listeners who may spell it MOMS. So the code, 20MUMS24. They have a pretty epic sale happening at the moment with E9 and Wild Country clothing. Buy two items and get 20% off. Buy three items, get 30% off until 2nd of May, which happens to be 2 days before my due date, but that has no bearing on your shopping. I just thought I'd throw that in there.
I thought that exact same thing. I was like, maybe Eva needs some climbing pants for her due date.
What? Can I tell you, you remember how Climbing Anchors gave me that mad backpack, the Wild Country
yes.
backpack for my birthday?
It's beautiful. Wild so Country, yeah.
Kate has been up me about packing a hospital bag, right? She's like, pack your bag, pack your bag, pack your bag. I'm like, what do you need? Like a phone charger, right? Like that's what I need. She's like, no, pack your bag. Pack
you're bag. The doctor and you don't know what to pack in your hospital bag.
Well, you know, I just, anyway, I was like, I'll get there. So yesterday I pulled out the Climbing Anchors bag, the Wild Country bag, right? And I was like, okay, I'm going to pack my hospital bag. She looked at me. She was like, why with that bag? I said, because I love it. She's like, can you get something practical, please? Because I will be digging around trying to find it. I said, it's very practical. It's got a beaner on it, you can hang it and it'll be fun. So anyway, that's my hospital bag.
I absolutely love that. Look, I mean, I can kind of resonate with with the fact that I don't know that it's the most practical bag for a hospital bag. Like I actually used the bag. You know this. I used it like on my way down to Sydney to see you because I didn't have an appropriate bag for carry-on luggage. And I loved it and it was very practical and functional for what I needed. But I'm going to love Kate's going to be digging through this thing.
Probably not designed to go to hospital to have a baby. But as far as I'm concerned, that's an adventure. I love adventures. The bag works.
It's the sexiest climbing bag ever, and it's a Wild Country bag. So I'm pretty sure you can use that discount that we were just sharing, the 20 or 30% off, to get some E9 pants, Wild Country backpack, something else.
And you two will be set to have a baby.
Oh, my gosh. This is all you need to have a baby. Also, since it's been quite a while since we spoke about it, hot sauce from Climbing Anchors. Now, they did send me the spicier version of their hot sauce. It's called High Spice. And I was nervous to try it for a little while because I like a little bit of spice, right?
You don't like too much spice.
I don't like too much spice because okay. I don't like it to overtake the rest of the flavors. Anyway, I ran out of the other, so I had to like upgrade to the High Spice.
And
it's so perfectly spiced.
I know.
Enough that it like tingles your tongue, but that it doesn't take over all the flavors. I actually can't believe how good it is. Have you tried the high spice?
Of course I have. I love it. Kate loves it too.
Yes. Okay, amazing. No, I was having it the other day. I was like, man, it's been at least a couple of episodes since we talked about hot sauce. So
I think we promised we'd stop talking about it, but I'm glad we've you know, refired that conversation.
We spiced it back into the podcast. Okay, our second sponsor, because we really need to move on, is Urban Climb. If you don't know them, they have amazing gyms in Queensland and Victoria. In Brisbane, they have Milton, Newstead, and West End. They also have a gym up in Townsville. And down in Victoria, they have Collingwood and Blackburn. So Urban always has lots of incredible events going on. Please go to their website and check out the news and events tab to see everything they've got on, because there's always a bunch of different things. But as far as Mom's Gone Climbing goes, there's a couple of groups now at the West End Gym that are going every week. So on Monday morning, Rope Wranglers, which I love, right? They're the ones who love climbing the ropes. Yeah, Rope Wranglers meet up. And on Wednesday and Friday mornings, they have Dino Daycare, which started out with just the mamas, a couple who had met up through Mum's Gone Climbing, but has now like included fathers and like a whole other group of families. So,
good.
I know. So if you want to get the details for them, either like drop us a direct message or get onto our Facebook group for Southeast Queensland Mum's Gone Climbing community, because they're going all the time. They're having the most wonderful fun. And I know Urban set them up with a bit of a playpen and a safe space for the younger kiddos.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, super awesome. We love that. And also, just so we don't leave Victorians out of the Urban Climb awesomeness, they have another Fear of Falling workshop coming up at Blackburn, which I know is something that so many of our mums struggle with. So May the 7th, jump onto their website, check it out. It's like a four-hour workshop, so really accessible to people who don't have a lot of time, but just, you know, such a great way to improve your climbing and give yourself a little bit of time to, you know, just build those skills, which is so fantastic.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It is awesome. Also, I wanted to do a shout out talking about, you know, the Mum's Gone Climbing local communities and people meeting up, to the community that's growing in England, because it's been growing so much in the last month or two, thanks to a couple of beautiful mamas who had reached out to us and who are now just like, you know, carrying the flame of the Mum's Gone Climbing cruise. So they've got meetups happening around Manchester and London now, and there's over 200 members on the Facebook group.
What?
So, 200, yeah.
Legends!
I know. So if you're in England, jump on. I know there are some other mums in different parts of England who are also on the Facebook group who are trying to like connect. So jump on there and get to know people. Have fun.
Absolutely.
It's all very relaxed. We love everyone.
Become a part of the community. It's the best.
Yeah, that's it. You can follow the links on our website and I think also on Instagram in our little link thing. So yeah, go check it out. Also, we've still got 20% off all our merchandise on the website to celebrate the fifth season of the podcast, MGCPOD5 at the checkout. And we'll have that one in our show notes, so you can check that out. But yeah, we had Carly back again. The other day I was actually lucky enough to stalk Carly down and give her a hug in person.
Which, I know.
I know. I was so excited because I've been trying to cross paths with her for a while. She lives in a different state to where I live. And obviously we were all quite busy, but she was setting for the Youth Nationals up in Brisbane, which is not far from me. So I went and had a chat with her and gave her a cuddle and it was so lovely. And she told me about some incredible climbing she's been doing up at Coolum before she was having to set. So it was so, so, so lovely. And it's good to hear about her projects that she's got going up here now. So I'm going to like keep my own Instagram to be like, did you get it? Did you get it?
Because that's what it's all about. Did you get it?
Did you get it? But yeah, which is like interesting to do with this conversation because we talk about a few things. Do you want to let everyone know what we're talking about in this part of our conversation?
Well, we talked about a few things. I mean, we certainly had some really great discussions around balancing Carly's work as a root setter with
and gym owner.
And gym owner with, you know, her responsibilities as a mum. Mm-hmm. And the guilt and the pull that I think we're all familiar with. But you know, Carly being as humble as she is, it was very interesting to hear her reflections around not sending a project.
Yeah, it's really funny because often me and Eva sit here talking to these incredible women and think, wow, like everything you've achieved, like we're in awe of what these women have done.
Yeah, I think if we could do like a, I think, oh, if I could do a tenth of that, I would be 100%, in awe of myself.
100%. But so often they're so humble and I was just trying to ruminating on like where it comes from and why when you're at that level, do you get just as disappointed in, you know, I guess what we might see as a failure as what we do as people who are like way further down the rung of the ladders. And I think it's because, you know, well, I wonder if it's because there's been a bar that's set so high, like whether that's early on in careers or at some point in their climbing career, that is their normal. And often that bar is like they were the best in the world at that time. So
how do you keep climbing?
How do you do that then? And yeah, Carly had some interesting reflections on how that's impacted her experience when working on projects that I found really interesting.
And I think that's why I love having these conversations, because I think that what's behind that is that we're all human, right? So like no matter what level you're performing at, we're all human. We all experience fundamentally the same emotions. It's just that, you know, my definition or my baseline of failure is going to be different to, you know, someone like Carly who is performing at a world-class level, you know? So it's nice. It's really unifying to be able to all actually talk about the same feelings, even though experiences are very different.
Oh, I love that word, unifying. I think that's been one of my favorite things about doing this podcast is that feeling that we're all together as a community and we're going through the same things and we can support each other and have these conversations about the deeper emotional and mental side to the experiences that we're all going through. It's so nice. And with that, we're going to drop into the episode. Hope you enjoy. That's another thing we want to talk to you about, Carly. You know, we were chatting before we started recording about how incredible you are. And you're saying, oh, it feels weird to talk about, you know, myself in this way. You know, I'm just me. I'm just like normal. And we're like, well,
yeah. We could just have a chat about climbing. Like, we don't have to talk about me.
Yeah.
That's how I feel.
You're like, oh, it's just national champion for 6 years running and, you know, won world youth titles and, you know, now just a couple and now I'm, like, first female chief setter of the world championship. But I'm just normal. Don't talk about me.
Yeah.
I guess I, like, say that because – you actually have reached like such high heights in climbing world and you're such a huge part of the Australian climbing community. You know, your role is just so integral to, you know, particularly our competitions, but even what you do in your own personal climbing, it's so inspiring. Look at, she's like,
I know, I'm like,
oh my God.
We still don't need to talk about me. It's okay.
You're a mum as well. You've obviously got two stepdaughters and your son. How have you found navigating all those parts of you? Because we know how all-encompassing parenting would be, and yet you've still been such a busy woman. You've done a lot. So how have you found that?
Yeah, challenging, of course. Yeah, you just have to work out your priorities in terms of climbing and have like a really good supporting partner, you know, because we're both, Rob and I, are passionate about climbing. We understand each other's goals and needs, and we can kind of work out when to give each other the time that we need to train, or, you know, I like with setting, I'm away for like a week and a half to 2 weeks at a time setting. So, you know, Rob, you know, holds the fort at home, which, you know, I'm really grateful for that I'm able to do that. And then like in terms of, you know, training and climbing, you know, I kind of realize just when Remy was in his last year of preschool, I'm like, oh, hang on, I have these like a couple of days a week where I could get out climbing. You know, maybe I should take this opportunity before I don't have the opportunity. And I think that was my shift in mindset, is to be able to take just every opportunity you got and just run with it. You know, if it's, I made like all these little short training sessions for myself. Like, you know, I've got a lot of training background, coaching background, so I kind of was able to just like nut out a few little things. But I made these like little training plans that only lasted 30 minutes to 40 minutes. So it's like you get in there, get your session done, and then you're out. And then you feel like you've done something for the day. You've had a session. And I just made sure I did that every day. And my climbing improved. Just, yeah, by not having to spend 2 hours at the gym, like, exhausting yourself, where you can actually get the session done in 40 minutes. So I just became smarter.
Yeah, which you do, right? Like, when you, when time is depleted, someone said to me, you know, there's nothing like a mother on a mission or something in terms of, you know, capitalizing on what limited time you have.
Oh, totally. Yeah. We just learn to use our time wisely.
I do sometimes think back to pre-mumming. And if you had asked me, yes, I would have very passionately told you how busy a person I was. And I was busy, right? But I don't know what I was doing half the
time. Like, yeah, I also think about that too. You kind of like, what did I do? Surely I had more free time to sit down and watch Netflix or whatever. Like, why didn't we do that? Oh, yeah, that's right. We didn't have Netflix. Yeah. We were like, but yeah, so you just get smarter.
Yeah. Do you ever feel like when you spoke about being sort of away for, you know, like a week or more at a time, do you ever get conflicted in those moments?
Yeah. Like I did last week, actually, setting for the States. I kind of had a moment of like guilt of like, oh, you know, Rob's holding the fort and, you know, he's not training because he's having to do everything at home. And I'm like, oh, maybe I shouldn't do this anymore and I should just, you know, be at home more and be a mum. but then you kind of think of like, you know, what Rob wants, and, you know, climbing is our passion. So if we just all of a sudden like gave that up or did it less, you know, we might just be really unhappy people. And yeah. So it's like, yeah, of course, I think as a mum you have those moments of guilt.
Yeah, and it's also nice for you to talk about it, because I think sometimes you think, oh, when my kids are young, when they're babies and toddlers, that's when I'm going to feel this guilt. But it actually just, it still like raises its head even as they get older, and it's always kind of lingering.
Yeah. And as they get busier and get into their own things, and then you're like, hey, but don't you want to come to the gym and climb? Like, yeah, that's what we do. We go rock climbing. And yeah, but they're going to have their own interests, and that's another thing you've got to put into the time slot.
Yeah, older kids are definitely, as you said, like more focused on their own interests, and they get like start stacking up all these different activities that they get into and all the friends that they have to like meet.
All the afternoon activities, and yeah, it'd be a lot easier if they just liked rock climbing, but
so much more convenient.
But alas, that's not how it works.
Yeah. I still have hope of We didn't have it with the girls, but our dream was that one day they'll be putting the drawers on our projects. That's our goal.
I love it.
Our dream. But yeah, we'll see.
Do they climb? Do all of them climb?
They all have like dabbled in it, yeah, for sure. And the girls actually got, you know, went out of it for a while and they've come back and they're going bouldering, which is, yeah.
I love the tone you say that with.
It was almost like it was hard to get the word out, like, oh, bouldering.
Yeah. I like going, yeah, they're like, oh, we like going bouldering. It's, you know, it's social. It's, yeah. I'm like, you know, we own a climbing gym. Like, they're going to be horrified I said that, but that's all right.
They probably won't listen to it.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I guess the other thing that I wanted to ask you before we kind of like wrap up the conversation. Now there's kind of two things.
Okay. I'm up for it.
This one I hadn't written down and sent to you, but I saw a post. Don't worry, it's something that you've spoken about. So it's okay. Like, but you put up a post recently about projecting stuff and I found it really interesting. Can you kind of like share a bit of your headspace? Because I know you've got a few projects that you've been working on for a while and how that kind of projecting thing kind of has related to your climbing, where you are at the moment with your own personal climbing.
Yeah. You know, with everything going on, it's always really hard to have a project and, you know, and I just found that the latest one, I was trying staring at the sea at, in the Glen, in the Blue Mountains, and it's like 31, 32, depends who you talk to.
31, 32, just casual.
Yeah, well, it's a grade.
Blows my mind.
It's one of those grade debates. So that's why I said it like that. but, yeah, I found I was just getting a little bit obsessed with it and sending it was the focus. Yeah. So I was obsessed. I was checking the weather. I was checking like when I had comps and making sure I had these blocks to get out and do it. And, you know, I was dragging Rob and Remy there. I was dragging my friend Amanda there. It's like, okay, we're going to wave war. And I just got really kind of obsessed with it. And I was just like, this isn't, you know, this isn't climbing. This isn't what I, and I was getting so close. Like I was falling off like four moves from it. It's like a really, really long route. So I think I counted like 70 moves you do. So if you're getting up to around 60 moves every time, it was just heartbreaking. And then I'm like, okay, so I went to Wave Wall for a whole year and I didn't go anywhere else. It's like, so that was kind of depressing a little bit. So I thought, oh, well, you know, I'll take my drawers off and then, you know, which was a hard effort mentally to be like, walk away from something I was so close to doing. And then I've just been out to all these other different crags and trying new things. And so now, you know, with more of a fresh mind, hopefully one day I'll get back on it, but not soonish. I need a break still.
But it's important to acknowledge that part of the process as well, right?
Yeah, definitely. Like, you know, cleaning it and like taking my drawers off was really hard. Like I failed.
That's such a strong word. I mean, I know what you mean. You didn't send it, right? But
yeah, I put all that effort, like so much time went into it and training and like, yeah, like I said, like dragging everyone there to this crack. And it's like, what for? Like I didn't get it. I didn't clip the anchors.
Do you think if you go back there, will you try and approach it with a different mindset?
Yeah, I think if I go back and try it, I'll just have to really focus and teach myself to not care, I think. To just enjoy it. Mm. And if it comes off, it comes off. But if it doesn't, then like I can always go try something else. Like there's plenty of routes in the mountains and at Nara that I haven't done, and the stacks, like just go pick a new one and enjoy the moment, and it'll eventually go.
So you're talking about shifting your perspective, really, right? Like,
yeah, learning different mindsets. And I think, you know, climbing is like, it's definitely like 50% mental.
Yeah, if not more.
More, do you think?
I think it's more.
Yeah, totally. Like, and I think that's where I've kind of shifted my mindset and how I've gotten stronger over the last, you know, 5 or 6 years is just to kind of have that, like, no care kind of attitude. You know, don't care about what people think, and just kind of get out there and do it, because we're getting older. So if we want to do these things and experience these crags, these climbs, and we've just got to go and do it.
Without harping on about the failure thing too much, I just have to come back to it for a second because I think it was really interesting. Like I think, and maybe this comes from where I'm at in my life at the moment, but I'm trying to understand that I'm human and there's a limit to what I can achieve, right? And there's also many things that I can probably achieve that I think I can't, but, you know, do you have the time and the energy and the resources to, and the desire to dedicate yourself to it? And I hear you, like, be so judgmental about yourself that, you know, like, what was the point? Like, I dragged everyone out there and I did it for so long and then I didn't clip the anchors. So, like, it was for nothing and I failed, which I find very familiar. Like, that would be not that I've been projecting 30s and 31s ever, but, you know, like, that narrative is very familiar. And I also think something that would be incredible for us to be able, as women and as mums, to be able to, like, step back from, very, very, very difficult, and I've not been able to do it properly myself, but I do try to be conscious of it. And I thought it was interesting hearing you say, you know, I think if I go back there and I try to change my attitude to it and just not care and just enjoy the process, I don't know, does that take away some of the failure, I guess? Like, I know there's always going to be a part of you, right, that is like, if I don't send that and if I don't clip those anchors, I've failed. I get it. But do you know what I mean? Like, do you think that there's a part of you that could shift that narrative a bit so that you actually just enjoyed the process? Or do you feel like you're always going to be sort of like encompassed by this sense of, for me, like, success equals completion? Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. And I think that's the interesting thing about climbing is that it's really goal orientated and it's really grade orientated. So to take the grades and the anchors or the top in the bolt or whatever out of it is really hard for a climber to do. And like social media as well, you know. Yeah. And I think that was, you know, one thing for me is like, you know, I put on social media that I was there and I was at the crag, and like I just wanted to make that post that I had sent it. And so then that's what was playing on my mind, I think. It's like, oh, you know, I just want to post it on Instagram that I've sent it. And like, and then you get all that, those comments and all that love, and and you feel like a superstar. And it's like, and then you kind of step away from it and you're just like, actually, just the process of being outside and the climbing. So I just had to kind of reel back in a bit and be like, okay, no, I was climbing with Rob, I was climbing with my friends.
And still inspiring a lot of people. Like, I sit here, listen to you tell that story, and I'm very inspired.
I hope so. Yeah. I hope so.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, well, I hope by putting those posts on Instagram and, like, putting myself out there, that I do just kind of share my experience and someone kind of has the same experience and be like, oh, okay, I'm not the only one.
Totally.
Yeah.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, and those, I mean, for me personally, I think those stories that are shared often affect me more than, like, the send ones. Hmm. Like, obviously the send ones, you're like, oh my God, that's amazing. But it's like a very short-lived thing.
Yeah,
whereas
totally.
Those ones where you're like, that's a story that I resonate with and it's a challenging one, they seem to, like, make an impact and stay with you for longer. It's interesting. Yeah. And like, as you're talking about that, I'm thinking of like a few different stories that we heard. I remember watching something with Mina Leslie Rujastik in it when she was had the same sort of experience of trying the same claim, and then ended up trying to refocus the way she related to it. And yeah, and that also that thing, I've heard that from quite a few, you know, climbers who are pushing the things of like, they've shared their project on social media, which is, you know, it's different to sharing it with the couple of people who are at the crag with you to like being like hundreds or thousands of people. And then that expectation of like, oh, I want to like be able to complete it for all these people who are part of my huge wider community. It's an interesting pressure to have.
Yeah, yeah, totally. And I always kind of think, oh, you know, what, like, what do people think now that like I walked away from it and I didn't send it? And like, what are they going to gossip about or what are they going to say? And, but it's just the social media that we play in our head, I guess, of, yeah, what people think.
I think you're right there. It's so much, we are so much more of our worst like judgment than anyone around us. Yeah, I was even having that conversation with my daughter yesterday, who, I mean, Eva knows what Ruby's like. She still wants you to interview her as well, Eva, by the way.
I'm so down for that.
But she said to me yesterday, just random, she's like, Mum, do you ever think that you're not good enough for this world? And I was just like, yes, my 8-year-old. And I was like, well, yeah, I do, Ruby. Like, I sometimes do that for sure. I was like, do you? And she's like, yeah, I do. And I was like, oh, well, what would you say to one of your friends if they were feeling that way about themselves? And she's like, I'd tell them that they were ridiculous and that they're the best thing in the world. And I was like, right, so that's how you have to talk to yourself as well.
Totally.
Because we would never let one of our friends talk to themselves like that.
No, not at all.
You know.
Yeah.
So it's interesting though, because it's obviously a very human condition. You know, it's something that we're all challenged with. And maybe that's something that drives us forward as people and gives us purpose and makes us go after these things that are bigger than what we are right now. Which is great, but it's just about finding the balance between also being kind to yourself.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a, yeah. I think it's definitely harder to do with social media.
Yeah,
having like, you know, constantly seeing like different things in Instagram.
Constantly seeing other people's showreels.
Yes.
Like constantly seeing the best moments, you know, curated to your screen to make you feel like utter rubbish.
That's why you need to unfollow all that stuff and just follow the good stuff.
Exactly. And it's like a whole other episode I think we could have about, you know, the positive and negative effects of social media and how do you
Another time. I'm sure you could get quite a few people to have a group chat about that.
That would actually be really cool. That'd be a great conversation.
Yeah,
a
yeah.
group panel on the effects. Yeah, I love it. Yeah, and I guess the last thing I wanted to close with, unless Eva also has something, now I've got a last thing. Before it was like, oh, I have this other question and I kind of wanted to add, but I didn't know if we'd have time, but I think we have time. was just what have you got coming up in the next year that you're excited about? And I know you were talking about some setting things that you've done that, sorry, setting like workshops that you're doing. Like, have you got anything coming up, any projects that you're particularly excited about outside of projecting climbing stuff?
Yeah, we could talk projecting. Yeah, I've got, so I've just running these workshops, setting workshops, and they're for more experienced females and non-males to come in and set lead, because when we're looking at who's applied for competitions, it's definitely male dominated. So there's no females or non-males applying for lead events. Like Boulder, we're getting quite a good range of people, but lead is like, it's pretty well me. And a couple of times Emma's applied as well from Sydney. So I'm trying to promote that by opening up Villawood to be able to set some lead routes commercially. And then hopefully later on the year we can run more of a competition-focused workshop, get people to come in and set comp-related routes. Because I think that's what we're finding. Maybe it's a bit intimidating to, you know, you might feel comfortable setting boulders because they're a bit more accessible to be able to set. But when Villawood and St. Peter's in Sydney is the only two lead gyms, it's really hard for anyone to actually give it a go and try. So that's what I'm excited for. And I think that's what I'd like to do more of in the next coming years is teaching. Get a bit out of my comfort zone and put myself out there and hopefully be able to teach in that environment. And then I'm off to Salt Lake City to set for the Para World Cup. So it'll be the first one of the season. And that's the start of May.
Oh, so soon.
Yeah, yeah. So, and before that I'll be setting youth nationals in Queensland. So I'll be on the lead team for that.
When's that on? And where are they having it? We'll see if I can.
It's at, yeah, yeah. It's the middle weekend of the school holidays. Oh, but I think it's for New South Wales. So, yeah, so it's in like 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah. Well, yeah, okay. Yeah, it was New South Wales school holidays because we start next week. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So that the boulder will be at Call.
Yeah.
And then the climbing's at Call's like lead gym. Yeah. Yeah, which is like a revamp of an older gym. Yeah, yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I remember going to a competition back in like 2000s there and actually competing, and I set there back in like 2010 or something. Oh, it's like old school concrete walls. So it's going to be fun. It's going to be challenging. It's going to be very different to what we set today for comp because of the –
How awesome.
Yeah. Oh, so interesting.
Yeah. So the big come down and have
Oh my god. I keep like Carly keeps coming up close to me and I keep wanting to go and like say hi face to face.
Go Nell, go.
Then my life just swallows me up.
Yeah. It's busy. For sure.
Oh man. I'm just like,
yeah, yeah.
That's amazing. And so I could be wrong with this, but this is not a drill. Is that part of the workshops? Is that like?
Yep. So Tanara, one of the local setters here in Sydney, has started that group up. They saw a need for like, you know, representing non-males and also, you know, unprivileged kind of environment. Yeah. So, and then when I was thinking about running a workshop, I'm just like, well, this is a perfect opportunity for us to come together rather than us trying to do the same thing on two different platforms that we could work together.
It looks like a fairly newish platform that's been created. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's only like, I think Tanara run the first one as a boulder at 9 degrees. And that was for anyone that like, didn't have any experience with setting, so it was quite fresh for people, and hopefully we can run a few more like that to be able to expose setting to females and non-males.
I love it. And down the track. More lead setters as well.
Yeah. Oh yeah, we need, if anyone is out there that sets and wants to take up lead, then there's a spot.
That's so awesome.
Yeah,
I love it.
Yeah.
Do you have any other questions, Miss Eva?
No, I don't. It's been a pleasure talking to you, Carly. It's been really inspiring. Despite what you may not consider yourself inspiring, but I am inspired.
Yeah, well, that's good. No, I've had fun. It's really nice to every now and then to talk about yourself and be a bit more open. Yeah.
As uncomfortable and awkward
as it is. Take a leaf out of Ruby's book. She's like,
I know.
When am I guest?
Yeah. Yeah, well, she's a special sort of character. She's that new generation, right? Like, she's already telling my husband all the things. But no, it has been an absolute pleasure chatting with you. Thank you for your time. And, yeah, I hope all of our paths will cross at some point. Awesome. Thank you very much, Carly.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me. It's been so much fun.
A huge thank you to our listeners at home. We hope you enjoyed those fabulous episodes with Carly. We will be back in 3 weeks' time, episode 43 of season 5, with a guest that you may or may not have heard of, kind of, you know, working her way up in the climbing world. I'm kidding. We have the incredible Beth Rodden joining us for some epic chats. They are just incredible. We cannot wait for you to hear them.
Yeah, we are beyond excited about this one. This has actually been a goal for Eva since we first started the podcast. I think like one of the first conversations she had, she's like, can we get Beth? I'm like, are you serious? And it's been like that for the last 4 series. And I was like, oh, I don't know. Let's just, but was absolutely wonderful to talk to her. We had the most hilarious discussions about pandas and lots of random stuff. But she's such a wonderful human, as I'm sure everyone is, you know, aware of. But once you sit down and actually have a chat with her, you just really sinks in of like, oh my gosh, love this woman. So 3 weeks' time, it's about to drop, and we are going to have you guys along for the ride.